floods can be minimized. And especially knowing that these are low-lying areas, knowing that every rainy season this will happen, knowing that the effects will still be the same. So yes, there will be some responses. There will be responses, especially with issues of treatment for malaria, prevention of waterborne diseases. There will be some bit of a response in issues of households that have lost a bit of their food.
According to the United Nations Humanitarian Agency, this year's floods in that part of Africa are the worst in two decades. The agency says that people in South Sudan fear more rains from across the neighboring Ethiopian highlands. Jerry Adams, United Nations.
And that's the program for today. The newscast was produced by Catherine Kopp. Thanks for listening today. In Los Angeles, I'm Dorian Marina.
You're listening to KBOO Portland. Next up from the archives, the PSU student strike of 1970.
This program is made possible in part by KBOO Foundation members and a grant from Radio Cab, serving the metro area since 1946 with service 24 hours a day, 365 days a year. Radio Cab offers airport service, wheelchair accessible vans, and can be reached at 503-227-1212. In Vancouver at 360-694-1234 or RadioCab.net.
This program has been made possible in part by KBOO Foundation members and a grant from Aladdin Theater, presenting The Mission UK with Death Charge, Saturday, September 14th at 8 p.m. Tickets and information for The Mission UK on September 14th at Aladdin-Theater.com.
Come here and I'll tell you what happened.
Standing at about Harrison, and there are about 20 white-helmeted police, the attack squad, the students call them, right in the center in the park. And then around them, about 40 blue-helmeted police. A lot of people around, and an ambulance has come up, and the police are disassembling that big black and white dome tent that was in the middle of the park block.
Hi, Candy.
Did you hear? They just started clubbing them. It was just horrible. It was insane. It was just total insanity.
I'm going to get my hammer broke this time.
Now the police line is starting to move down. So essentially, there's a line of police at each end of the block and a line of students facing it. Not from the outside, but from the north in each case.
I'm the head of the strike committee. I mean, the head of the high school, the strike committee. I had a meeting that was supposed to be planned for right then when that happened. High school students were there, and they saw what happened, man.
My name is Albert Meeks. I'm a World War II vet. Put 12 years in the Navy. I made two moratorium marches. I've been up here helping these kids for one reason. Because I'm opposed to the Vietnam War. I don't want no kid to go through what I went through. Because it wasn't pleasant.
On Thursday, April 30th, 1970, President Nixon made a television announcement that the, quote, Cambodian incursion had been launched by U.S. combat forces. On May 4th, 1970, four Kent State University students protesting the American invasion of Cambodia were shot and killed by the Ohio National Guard. In reaction, students struck at more than 450 campuses across the country. At Portland State University, students set up barricades and occupied the university park blocks for 6 days until May 11, 1970, when they were violently attacked by Portland police. Tonight on Treasures from the KABU Archive, we will listen to an hour-long piece put together by an unnamed KABU reporter from recordings he made at protest marches and other events that took place from May 2nd to May 11th, 1970. Stay tuned. This first chunk of recording was made Saturday, May 2nd, 1970, at a demonstration in Portland. First, we'll hear from the unnamed KABU reporter, who describes the process for putting together all this tape.
Monday evening, May the 11th. Between 5 and 6 p.m., the police came into the park blocks adjacent to the university, and the police drove away people who were protecting a first aid tent in the center of the park blocks on city property, unfortunately. In the process of driving those people away, they injured 32 people, and I was there directly afterwards. Most of the tape here was made with at least some idea of incorporating little bits of it, 10, 20, 30-second pieces of it, into newscasts on a commercial radio station. But sometime during that first Saturday on May the 2nd, I got the idea that the whole tape, the whole demonstration, was something that people ought to at least have the opportunity to listen to. In other words, I got the idea that the whole process of cutting up things that happen into 10 and 20 and 30 second pieces into what people in the news business call actualities is going to necessarily distort what people hear. And so I'm taking all the tapes. They'll be edited to some degree. First of all, they'll be edited simply because no one person can be every place and have his recorder running all the time. Secondly, they'll be edited in order to eliminate technical problems, like the batteries running down on the tape recorder and causing speed changes.
It's about 12 noon in the South Park blocks between Montgomery and Harrison. There are some TV news crews setting up, and about 150 people have gathered on this block. Many people are carrying signs that say, "Bring all our troops home now," which were provided by an organization. There are a couple of United Farm Workers Organization flags. And there's a proposal to march down to the Pioneer Post Office, down 6th. And that apparently is what's going to happen when this speaker from the United Farm Workers Organization finishes.
Here it is. If anyone wants to carry a sign, just come up and take one. And I just ask people to bring them back here at the end of the demonstration. Then we'll come back, we'll march downtown around the Pioneer Post Office back here, and then bring your signs back so we can save them for future demonstrations. If there's nothing else, perhaps we should just start off in a minute.
Jail Nixon. Delete it.
corner of Southwest 6th and Clay, walking down 6th Avenue. The march stopped for just a moment for no apparent reason, and now has continued on. People are talking, nobody chanting just now. On Southwest 6th Avenue in Portland.
You're a good example of it.
What do you fellas think of all this?
Hogwash.
How about you?
They'd look real good over there. They wouldn't have so much hair.
Okay, thank you.
I know what they're going to do. They want to come home, but they ain't even got over there yet.
Okay,
I guess Uncle Sam rejected them.
Howdy, what do you think about all this?
Huh?
What do you think about all this?
Everybody got their own thing to do, you know.
Thank you.
I'm with them to join the thing, you know.
Thank you very much. There's shouts that they should go into Meyer and Frank. They've passed the Pioneer Post Office without stopping. Some people are leaving the street. And I think they are going to go into Meyer and Frank. Clock says 13 minutes after 12 noon, and the crowd has entered Meyer and Frank.
1, 2, 3, 4.
Marching past the information booth.
5, 6, 7, 8. Organized massive. 1, 2, 3, 4. Victory to the people. 5, 6, 7, 8.
And it looked for a moment as if they'd go out the Fifth Avenue door, but now they're going to march around the store. Now they're marching again, they're moving.
Okay, well, the way out's there, not into a post.
This way. So, the door is right there.
Freedom of
you
the
and
press.
Your recorders
are...
The store officer has sent myself and a TV cameraman allegedly out the door, although it doesn't look like either one of us is going to go.
1, 2, 3, 4.
The crowd came back out of Meyer and Frank.
5, 6, 7, 8. Organize the matters of day. 1, 2, 3, 4.
Going to the streets.
It doesn't look as if the crowd's going to be able to assemble in the streets again. Nope, wrong again. We're moving back into the street at the corner of 5th and Morrison. Heading back up towards the area of Portland State University. Fewer people than started the march are gathered now in the middle of the street on Southwest 5th Avenue by the Pioneer Post Office. And they've stopped. Some people are sitting on the pavement. Channel 6 news car has pulled up in back of the crowd. And one of the leaders of the march is calling for the people to go back up to Broadway and then march back to Portland State. But there are several people, in fact the bulk of the crowd isn't going to leave. Not just now. There are about 20 people sitting in the pavement in front of the Pioneer Post Office. Other people are drifting away. Now they're leaving. Some people are calling for people to march into the bus station, but there doesn't seem to be much disposition for that. People going into the bus depot, perhaps. 20 people now, a continuing stream of people. Apparently they're going to go inside and march around the bus depot. You're waiting for a bus here.
No, I'm just standing here waiting for a train to come in on. I think this is stupid. They can't prove anything that way. It's just all stupidity, really. I mean, they're not proving anything to anyone, but they're just making fools out of themselves out there.
Okay, thank you. Does this group have any kind of permit or any kind of...
They're just a bunch of sick punk kids that we have for every demonstration. That's all it is. They're all the same faces, the same leaders.
Is the police department going to, at any point, move in on this march?
Well, I don't know.
The marchers, it's just about their full strength, what they started out with. Regrouped and have marched up Broadway to Madison, and are coming back down 6th Avenue for the second time. Nobody's moving. Many people are sitting. Standing at the top of the steps of the Georgia Pacific building. This may be the conclusion of the demonstration, or maybe the beginning of a new phase. Decided to come to the Georgia Pacific building.
No, the guy in front,
individuals.
That's right. It's not controllable.
Well,
people
decide by plans to start anyway. You know,
there were no, yeah. There was no organized thing.
You try to get them
some
back.
Some people want to go one place. Mm-hmm. We went.
Is your tank to make them follow us?
It depends on you know what people feel like doing.
Now I had your name last night.
I'm Herman Porter.
Porter.
I don't know what this one. I'm from the moratorium committee Individuals and all kinds of groups called for a demonstration today. And the moratorium, the chairman of the moratorium committee called for people to support the demonstration as a demonstration against the invasion of Cambodia and the expansion of the war and for the immediate withdrawal of all American troops from Southeast Asia.
It seems that the bulk of the march has now moved off the...
Well, the march has gone on for quite some time and many people have left at this point. It's been announced that those who are going back will go back, and some people prefer to continue on, and so they're continuing on. It's not organized by any group, and so there are, people came and left as they chose.
They're marching up the steps from Fifth Avenue to the Pioneer Courthouse grounds.
The thing that disturbs me about this demonstration is it ends up with the usual kind of extreme radical element which wants to bring in every other issue that is bothering their minds, and really the issue should be today the American invasion of Cambodia, and by bringing in Bobby Seale and going to Georgia Pacific, which as far as I know it may be contributing to our environment problems, but I don't know that it has any role in the Southeast Asian war particularly. It seems to me these are irrelevant to the core of today's demonstration, and many people here seem to be determined to try to antagonize this silent majority, and the silent majority in America, which is saying yes to almost anything the president asks them to say yes to, still happens to have the economic power. And these people, I think, are misguided by trying to antagonize them rather than trying to prick their conscience and win some of them over. The fact that, that you can't get a just peace by winning an unjust war. The fact that we're moving in, to countries without even the express, let alone the real, desire of the people for us to do that. This is the issue, and these people just drive off the very people who have the power and who, if they were with them, could get a change in our policies in the world today.
Can you give me your name?
My name? Yeah, it's Carl Schnorr.
Are you with an organization?
No, I'm not with any organization. I came here today because I'm very, very disturbed about President Nixon's decision to expand the war and about the hypocrisy involved. I'm very disturbed also by him holding up as, virtues, the fact that we are wealthy and powerful. These are not, for sure, these are not Christian virtues, and these are not, the ideals on which this nation was founded. And the fact that we're the blind leading the blind down a path of destruction, either through war or through population or through pollution or something, this to me is the real issue and the crux of the matter. And to talk about Bobby Seale, however just or unjust his cause may be, is in fact driving off our potential support from the more influential segment of our society.
They're moving off again.
Yeah, they're moving off.
The United Farm Workers Organization flags in front. Some people are still staying. Maybe up to 50 people are still sitting on the lawn in front of the Pioneer Courthouse. The others are moving up the sidewalk. They can't group at enough force, I don't think, to get back out into the street again.
That was the end of Saturday's demonstration, called by moderates but never controlled by them. It was one of hundreds of demonstrations against the invasion of Cambodia. 2 days later, while Portland State students were planning to strike in protest against the invasion, another demonstration in Ohio ended with 4 students dead.
You are listening to Treasures from the KBOO Archive, here on KBOO Portland. These recordings were made during May 1970 at the Portland State University student strike.
The strike plans at Portland State were being made, initially at least, by moderates. Lynn Stone told me he was organizing to prevent violence by giving students a nonviolent way to express their feelings. The Kent State deaths caused strike plans to be moved ahead. The organizers generally, not all of them, wanted Gregory Wolfe, the president of Portland State, to shut down the school. Wolfe had a discussion in his office with them. That was Tuesday. The discussion demonstrated that Wolf could fight back any argument for closure. He had help from a faculty member whose name I do not know. And he was the bad guy. He was very strong against the idea of closure. Wolf was the good guy. He was very sympathetic, but he was committed to keeping the school open all the same. But that night, Wolf issued a statement through the wire services that he had changed his mind and the school was going to be shut down Wednesday, Thursday, and Friday. Barricades were being put up that night, and the area was sealed. There were incidents at the barricades. There were individuals like the people who were living across from the school in Ione Plaza, which is a fairly plush sort of apartment house. And they didn't want to have to drive around the block to get to their underground parking lot, but finally they were convinced the barricades weren't going to come down just for them. The strike had 4 points: Cambodia, nerve gas, the trial of Bobby Seale, and the Kent State killings. And while the weather was good, groups went out twice. Large numbers of people blocked downtown streets. There was a demonstration at the induction center. The climax of the strike was to have been Friday. A march was scheduled from the park blocks to Washington Park for a giant memorial service at noon. And it was supposed to have 10,000 people at it. And the rain came, and everything was canceled, and the carnival was over. A couple of hundred people went to a memorial service at Old Main. A black speaker told them they were racists because they weren't concerned with all the black people who were dead, but four white middle-class students got memorial services, and a Rabbi Rose talked, and it was a little hard for me anyway to tell what he was saying. He spoke clearly enough, but it was just hard to tell what he was saying. He was talking about attitudes toward death. Now, through the week, the Portland cops had been pretty cool in general. Wednesday, a few tax squad cops got trapped by a couple of hundred people on a corner by the Greyhound bus depot, and they tried to hit a few people, and they had some rocks thrown at them. And earlier, that same day, when the crowd had left the induction center, there were people who were left sitting on the pavement. And I'm told that most of them were people from Reed College. And there were several people arrested, but they weren't arrested until after the crowd was gone. On Thursday, the tax squad was waiting around the corner from the Safeway parking lot between 10th and 11th on Jefferson, after a lot of people had gone out marching around the area around the stadium freeway, basically west of Portland State. There were 500 or 600 people there in the parking lot, and the tax squad was out with clubs and helmets and the whole thing, waiting just around the corner. But when everybody started going back to the park blocks, they got back into their trucks and they went away. So the cops stayed calm. And over the weekend, nothing very much happened. The strikers withdrew from most of Smith Center. President Wolf has been quoted as being upset because an orgy was going on in the lounge areas. It might be appropriate at this point to mention that President Wolf was later to suffer a collapse and maybe an ear infection, and it's hard to tell what all. But anyway, he ended up under observation at County Hospital Monday. The strike committee, apparently, though, over the weekend, decided to let Wolf have everything back except for the fourth floor, except for the headquarters of the committee. And there was a lot more rain over the weekend, and a few people, stayed at the barricades all through the nights. Then Monday, it was time for the barricades to come down, and most of the barricades did come down. There was some help from that faction known as the Jocks, who also that same day went down to City Hall and talked to the mayor, something that no one was able to do on Wednesday. At Broadway and Mill, after the barricade had been taken down, this is what it sounded like, and this was on Monday morning.
Never had a club. I never had nothing.
It was nice and club base.
We got no job.
Had nice and club too. Big deal.
What do you want? Do you see
Uncle Jimmy?
You know the facts?
Yeah.
And you expect me to...
That's right.
You know, this is your friendly...
Can you explain to me why the one individual shot in the back of the neck of the small caliber?
Okay, it's your individual decision. The people at Tricia can make their decision. I'm sitting down, man.
What good does it do the whole issue if you're in jail? How can you do anything? You turn the whole public against
you. Captain Ryder, can you give us an answer?
I can give you 2 minutes, 3 minutes.
Okay,
go ahead.
No, can you answer that question about what happens if we walk back and forth across the street?
Pardon?
If you block traffic, you're obviously going to be arrested, young lady.
But like, if we stood and just moved when the car came, and then went back, and then just moved when the car came, then we're not blocking traffic. It's like when we pick at a gate.
Were you there when I got made by that old man? I'm going to probably go to court in the next couple of months, and I was wondering if...
You were the one that was chasing you, were you not?
Yeah.
Well, I saw the man turn and mace you, and he got a little bit of me.
He got a little bit of you.
Yeah.
All right.
Well,
we're talking.
Okay. We sit down.
All right.
Don't just sit down. Just stop him and tell him why we don't want him to come into Park Bluff.
No, what is this?
Tell him why.
All right, in the meantime, we're going to walk, right?
Walk him.
Okay, let's walk.
We're not going to let him come in
at any rate.
Okay, that's fine.
Even if it means sitting back down again.
Okay, that's fine.
The Patricia people are going to stay here and walk back and forth because this is an open intersection.
Okay, give some room for them.
Let's go back to Freedom Suite and people from there and do the same thing.
They got her
now. There are two police vans parked here. This is the intersection of Broadway and Mill. There are two police vans with wire screens in the back windows sitting here. Not too many police. The captain who covered the microphone and a lieutenant. About five of the men.
Hey, how's Will doing? Hey.
Would you believe it?
Young man passing out pamphlets from the American Bible Society.
Yeah.
How do you happen to be passing out pamphlets?
Well, I mean, Jesus is the only way to peace.
So if everybody wants peace,
Jesus is the only, you know. The news has got to get around.
How do you feel about this?
I'm not worried about government. I'm worried about Jesus.
Thank you.
Either City Hall action or Portland police. I guess they figure they had enough of it.
If Kent Ford is here, would he please come up to the speaker's platform? Kent Ford?
Can I say a word on, or could you ask if anybody has any wire cutters?
Hey man, we've got wire cutters all over. They've already clipped the wires to these goddamn things.
All those people that are going to hear his side of the story.
You find that guy with the wire cutter. Tell me about it, will you?
Hey, yeah,
really
but
dig
still,
it.
There's still all these people.
Really, man, I didn't want to finish such kind of...
Yeah. I don't need to ask anybody. Let me say this. A lot of things that people here don't realize is that I heard a lot of rhetoric this morning about people, the jocks especially, saying, look, we're being kept away from our education because we can't get into school. Well, the school is open, but what they don't realize is, sure, it really affects those people when they can't go somewhere where they have to take their own money out of their pocket and actually pay it at the registrar's office. See, that affects, but an indirect paying of the dollar through taxes to the military system in this country, that doesn't seem to affect these people. I really sincerely believe that if the people had to take the money out of their pocket and say, here, this goes to military, I mean, I'm gonna, you know, everybody had to go to their own little place and pay a military tax, it would be a hell of a lot different. Because people don't see that money coming out. They see a little thing on their check every month that says taxes, you know, federal taxes out. And a hell of, you know as well as I do that over 70% of that goes to military.
Not only that,
you know,
if they
I mean,
don't pay,
you know,
they go to jail.
Right.
So, I mean, a little civil disobedience doesn't
even care.
Right on, ladies.
But to come out the door, that's right. Why, you know, and swear and everything.
This is the soundtrack in the park blocks. There's a sort of dome. Tubular, maybe aluminum, put together into a...
Again, I'll mention that people who want to speak at the new rally,
Bucky Fuller type of dome.
Get up to the information desk.
Someone told me last night that it was set up by Reed students. And it seems to be serving as a medical center, at least. There's a big sign painted here on the ground, on wood. It says Life. Pastels. It seems to be just a sort of general center. It's covered with plastic, half white, half black.
Up in front of Bobby Seale now, the last barricade that's standing. There are people around it. If you don't want it to come down, let's get some more in.
So that's where we're going to go.
According to the police, the people on the barricade that have evicted the original people is now the hard, hard core.
This is quite a barricade. There's not chicken wire, some kind of broad mesh wire around the front of it. Gathered it up in hunks. And there's a bunch of plywood, some 2x4s and 4x4s, and trash collection box, big metal thing about 5-6 feet long. And that's only on this one part.
Somebody's gonna get really hurt, you know. Don't like what happened at Kent State, then we gotta try and keep it off of Portland State in every way.
Hey guys, get out of their way so they can tear it apart.
This is getting ridiculous.
This is good. See, we got this guy.
He's pretty good. He's one of the
best. They haven't had any orders since he started.
Pretty out here for a fight.
Well, maybe wouldn't they get marched down the mayor's office after all?
Huh?
Wouldn't they get marched down the mayor's office?
Just let the garbage truck out in the back if they go do it again.
I know, I agree. I'm as guilty as anybody else. I don't even know who the president of the city is. I will. I think there are a lot of individuals in the group that will too.
This is the first revolution I ever seen being fought by dogs or babies.
More babies.
I mean, if they want to fight, then leave the baby at home.
I don't. Look, and I think we're all part of the same group.
Thursday. Lost his job.
Friday. And all civil liberties.
Right.
What kind of place was that where you work?
I don't know. Fry roofing.
Well, if he was working there, he should have left.
The same guy who was talking, if you could hear it, a couple of minutes ago, is still standing up on the barricade. Theory. Maybe Ivy League isn't quite what I want to say. Conventional student-ish type of guy. With a notebook in his hand. I'm out in the street. The man in the truck is talking to someone on his two-way radio. Across the street, there's a U-Haul trailer, U-Haul truck, taking away Papa John's stuff. This is the last day for Papa John, too. The traffic on the street just keeps going.
The cab by only Broadway and Mill.
You might get shot in the back of the head, too. That's radical.
Look, I'll tell you something. I wouldn't give a damn. I fought 4.5 years for this country and the South Pacific. Goddammit, I'll tell you something. You fellas are wrong. Look, in 1937...
We're wrong to stand up for what we believe in?
Van Portland,
what?
The older man tucking has a peace symbol around his neck.
I do.
Looks like a construction worker.
Well, it might be stupid.
With a metal hat, a green jacket, khaki clothes. There still must be about 15 people down here walking around, sitting on the street. Nobody paying much attention now. Back up at Broadway and Montgomery, this big yellow truck is still here. TV cameras are still here. And there are a couple of guys standing on top of the barricade discussing it. The situation, that is.
I'm sorry, man. But the thing is, they've intimidated the university.
For what?
I'm sorry, they cannot close it. I feel they cannot close the university. They have no right to intimidate the president so that he has to close his educational institution. Why must there be politics? Why must they say, let's all strike? And then these few, they say, hey, let's strike. All of a sudden, these few have closed the university, and now the majority, who didn't want to strike, are now shut out from the university. And this is what I cannot agree.
But, okay, but the school is open now, and you've got access.
The school's open now, but it was closed, and that is the point.
Right, right.
Because if normally, you should be allowed to do it to start with.
Okay, so you're going to take the law in your own hands?
Aren't
they taking the law in their own hands?
You are currently listening to Treasures from the KBOO Archive. Tonight, we are revisiting the Portland State University student strike of May 1970.
The tape was made Monday morning and early afternoon. This part of it at the Bobby Seale Barricade, which was at Broadway and Montgomery. Where they're calling this the Bobby Seale Barricade, which is a kind of an ultimate symbol that they could use. And it's interesting that their symbol should be not an abstraction, but a particular person. A person whose friends would call this crowd racist. Because it is almost entirely a white crowd. Not just the people who are here to be spectators, but almost all the people behind the barricade. These are the people who are cheering.
Nixon is the real Truman on the side.
Who's Wolf Henchman over here with the tie and the white shirt? What's his name?
I don't know. He looks like he eats a lot of custard.
He could always be a cop, too.
No, he's a clown.
He's got a bullhorn.
He might be. He works
for
Portland State.
Have to cut that out, too.
Sorry about that.
There are maybe 200-300 people here. Oh, not that many. Say 200 people right in this vicinity.
That's about right.
And probably about half of them are either hostile or not involved. And even they won't really get the sense of it. And then all those other people, and even just the students, who will never know what it was like because they were doing something else at the time. They will never have any kind of concept of what it was, what the real issue was down here at the time. What people were talking about down here.
Well, I think it was obviously a small victory. You don't know what's going to happen later on. But, I think it's a good example of the kind of tactics people should be using. Like protecting things with their bodies, because you have to, I think that, for instance, the Kent State students, other people have said, were a blessing of sorts, because the deaths of four or six people accomplished more than many demonstrations ever would. And with any revolution, there's got to be a certain amount of violence and a certain amount of death to shock people. Unless people are willing to give up their lives for their freedom, then we don't have any freedom. Period. The minute you're afraid to do anything about the political situation, you've lost your freedom. And it comes right down to everything, including your life. I don't know what I'll do when it comes to laying my body on the line, but, you know, that's what I think.
The situation's stable for a while. Can we all move and get off the street?
The guy who's saying the situation is stable, move off the street, is a...
He's a professor.
He's a professor,
huh? Okay. This guy's in the English department. He's obviously one of the professors that's working for the revolution.
Have you been up here during the night?
Are you up here?
Well, Friday night, I don't know if you were aware, but Friday night they got some tear gas canisters dumped into the crowd. This area between South Park Hall and, or rather between Smith and Kramer was pretty heavily laden. And then between Old Main and Kramer got really good can right actually just a little bit north of the crowd, underneath the wheels of a car. And the kid got a pretty good dose of it when he was trying to kick the canister away. And then, Thursday night, a friend of mine was up here in the barricades, and automobile came by, a guy had a loaded, they figure was a loaded pistol, I'm not sure, but it was a pistol at any rate, which dispersed the crowds fairly quickly. And then Saturday night, some clown came down between Kramer and Old Main and tried to hit the barricade, the people manning the barricade with his car, took a good dip into the crowd. I'd say he was maybe, at least a foot behind the curb line, the front end of his car, and then he got it out. They didn't get a number or anything, but that one I saw myself. The tear gas, the guys were still pretty messed up from the tear gas, so I know that happened.
I was thinking I might go to the medical station, see if there's another medevac there. So the two of us will have one, John and myself. We're both strangers, but there weren't any spares about 25, half an hour ago, an hour.
Well, go see if
I think you need any help here now.
We can afford to lose one person.
Two people.
Two people.
John can stay here if you want to. What? Okay.
Medic?
Yeah, we'll leave John here. Let's leave John with you. Keep him in the series until fighting breaks out, and I'll find him late in a couple minutes.
Hi there, Mr. Richards.
Hi.
You're sort of the Oregonian's military editor in a sense, aren't you?
This is a military operation.
That's what I was interested to see here.
What you got there? What's it? It's a recorder. It's a recorder with a tapeworm.
With a tapeworm.
Yeah.
What are you doing out here?
Yeah. What are we doing?
Yeah.
We got to see where the action is. Where's the action?
This is the head of the philosophy.
Of course, the odd thing is that I never did find out what a man with a dummy was doing in back of the barricade. There's practically no one in front of the barricade now. And there are large clumps of newsmen and plainclothes policemen and construction workers over on the opposite corners. But no tax squad, no blue helmeted types, nobody inside.
Can I say something?
Sure.
Where's the mic? I'm a stir. This goes out?
Well, I don't know. It'll go out on something. It'll go out on some radio station.
No, I ain't talking about that. I'm talking about the public.
Yeah. That part of the public that chooses to listen, yeah.
All right. You got it on? Mr. Public, my name's Albert Meeks. I'm a World War II vet. Put 12 years in the Navy. I made two moratorium marches. I've been up here helping these kids for one reason. Because I'm opposed to the Vietnam War. You want my address? It's 2131 21st Street Southwest. I don't want no kid to go through what I went through. Because it wasn't pleasant. World War II was a declared war. And everybody was conscientious, so they all volunteered. The Korean War was not, it was just the same thing we got in Vietnam. It was an undeclared war. Now people are losing a lot of sons over there, and it's wrong. I want to see those boys come home. I don't know what you think about it. I know. Oh, you don't realize there's a war going on over there, but the only way it hits you is when it hits you. When it hits you is because you've lost a son or somebody has got maimed. Now, the only way to stop it is go along with this program. These kids are right, and I know it, or I wouldn't be up here. And far as I know, I'm 46 years old, and I think I'm the only one that's been up here for the last 3 days working on blockade to just go along with the program and help these people.
Later, much later that same day, the Bobby Seale barricade did come down. Of course, the Bobby Seale barricade was blocking Montgomery Street, which ordinarily is blocked anyway. Between 5 and 6 o'clock, I was working and monitoring the police radio, and twice I heard the dispatcher call for movement upon the tent, the dome, the medical tent. And the first time, whoever answered on the other end, whoever was at the park blocks, said that he understood that President Wolf was on the phone to City Hall trying to save the tent. Well, the dispatcher let it go for a while, and then he came back again, saying again that they had to move. And this time, whoever was on the other end told him that there were two faculty members there who were telling him that President Wolf was on the telephone talking to City Hall. But apparently it didn't make much difference. It was a little before 6 o'clock. And then whoever was at the scene said code 3, which means come right away and run the siren if you have to. And as soon as I could, I went to the park blocks, but it was too late to get what happened. All that was left was the sense of what had happened. Standing at about Harrison, and there are about 20 white helmeted police, the tax squad, the students call them, right in the center in the park. And then around them, about 40 blue helmeted police. A lot of people around, and an ambulance has come up, and the police are disassembling that big black and white dome tent that was in the middle of the park block.
Hi, Candy.
Were you here? Like, they just started clubbing them. It was just horrible. It was insane. It was just total insanity.
I'm going to get my camera broke this time.
Now the police line is starting to move down.
Hey, man, they don't like it.
I know that. Starting to move down the park blocks. And the people are retreating in front of it. Someone threw something into the police lines. A rock, a stick. The police have crossed Harrison Street and they're standing ready. The police are tearing down a shelter that had been built at the corner of Park and Montgomery. I've been saying Harrison all this time and I'm in Montgomery.
Oh yeah, I've never used mine. It's clear full. I'm not going to use it. I won't use this if you guys will get out of the way. But all right, we tell you to move and get this junk out of the way. I mean, that's all we want.
You know if the people are all right beat up?
I don't know anything about them yet. I got here too late.
Five people were beat up. One girl was unconscious, laying on the ground. One guy was... he had a leg in a cast, and he didn't have his crutches, and they were beating the they come down.
Stay! Can't 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 stay!
The regular police with the blue helmets are mostly at ease. The attack squad has been standing the entire time with these white, I think they're called batons. They're quite a bit longer than an ordinary club. Standing with them at the ready. They're quite a bit back from the crowd, though. They're a street's length away from the crowd, and regular police are in the front line. The crowd is cheering because the attack squad has been sent back down the other direction. The attack squad just backed up about a block. So essentially, there's a line of police at each end of the block and a line of students facing it. Not from the outside, but from the north in each case.
Park! People's 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 Park!
The tax squad seems to be leaving. Leaving the park. I doubt they've said anything to anybody, but a lot of people are cheering. As if they're leaving. Don't know how they're going. There's a sheriff's bus parked up by Shattuck.
That thousands, millions of people all over this country and in Portland are watching you. Therefore, you are truly demonstrating peace, unity, and brotherly love. Therefore, to those of you who believe in this, I ask you to sit down and be quiet. Let's go home. Some of you may believe in a gentleman by the name of God. Some of you may believe in something else. I believe in peace, unity, and brotherly love. And in the name of that, I would like you to stop and listen, whether you're a policeman, whether you're a Negro, whether you're an American, or whether in my case...
You better tell them that three pigs hopped on me, and they beat up me. That's your fine Portland police force.
You can't say that.
Put that on the table before. I mean, you put down. You put the swearing down, you put the blood and guts and gore down.
That's right, mister, because that's how
that's
it is.
That's the people's opinion, man. That's the news.
They got me
the
in
world.
A corner, and they beat the shit out of me.
You're going to stop waving your fist at me.
Now the barrier on Mill Street, the barricade, has been is being ripped down.
What happened?
Come here, and I'll tell you what happened. I was sitting down at first. Okay, then they started pushing everybody away, and I got knocked down. So instead of letting me get up to move, I then got up, sat there telling him to cool it, to cool it. I was over here when they had their line, and that guy said, "I don't want to listen to you, you punk," and squirted with me a mace right in the eye.
Who was this, a policeman?
Yes, and I'm going to find out who. There's a person that has their head cracked in half. They might be dead.
You got to get some help someplace?
I'm okay. I'm the head of the strike committee. I mean, the head of the high school, the strike committee. I had a meeting that was supposed to be planned for right then when that happened. High school students were there, and they saw what happened, man.
Looks like all the park benches and the park blocks are going to be someplace else, and the garbage cans, and anything else.
And people are going to be here.
People are going to be here.
Yeah, people are going to be here.
People are going to stay.
Is there any place for the injured to go?
A couple of notes. Where my voice was wavering, or where other people's voices were noticeably wavering, it's much more likely due to technical problems with the recorder than to any emotional factor. The words that people use when they are very happy or when they're very angry, the impolite words, because it's not really polite to be very happy or to be very angry.
had to be cut out. And that's because radio stations are regulated by the United States government. And the United States government is very, very polite.
Thanks to this unnamed KABU reporter for covering the protests and community response for KABU in May of 1970, and to those who have supported KABU throughout the years as we hit the streets reporting against wars from Vietnam to Iraq to Syria. The next episode of Treasures from the KABU Archives will air Wednesday, October 2nd at 6 p.m. Thanks for listening.
You are listening to KBOO Portland, 90.7 FM, and also heard around the world at www.kbu.fm. The time is 7:01. Up next is Hard Knock Radio, right after these messages.
At KBOO, we have a dynamic community of 500 volunteers doing everything from front desk work, janitorial work, community reporting, hosting information booths, clerical support, news writing, documentary